Hello and welcome to The Family Show. I'm your host, Eleanor Rossman, and joining me today and every week are the wonderful couple, the dynamic duo, Brendan and Randy Lee. Batman and Robin. Oh, we get silly, don't we? It's winter. And we're going to talk today about liturgy, and I don't even know what about liturgy we're going to talk about, but that's what
we're going to talk about. We're going to start out, I thought, with what I wanted to talk about. You want to talk about liturgy. I just kind of wanted to talk about the movie Sister Act with Whoopi Goldberg.
Okay.
I don't remember how many people remember that movie.
Yes, it ruined a lot of songs for me, but go ahead.
But, well, anyway, I don't like the conversation. Well, anyway, if you don't remember the movie or saw the movie, Whoopi Goldberg plays this chorus singer, government witness. She's hiding from the mob at a convent. She's pretending to be a nun. And in the course of her hiding out at the convent, Whoopi takes over as the sisters' choir director, right? And pretty soon, Whoopi has the sisters' choir doing like these Jesus rock and roll numbers mm-hmm. for Mass. And at one point, Whoopi and the Reverend Mother, who's played by Maggie Smith, right, get this huge argument over the music selection. And Whoopi observes that people don't like to go to Mass because, quote, it's a drag, right? Mm-hmm. It's boring. Right. Which actually is not a unique observation about Mass. You know,
right.
A lot of people admit to zoning out or their mind wandering during Mass, all of which got me wondering whether Jesus ever gets bored during Mass. I mean, you think about it, for over 2,000 years, Jesus has been doing Mass after Mass, after Mass, day after day after day. You get to Sundays, which is supposed to be his day off, day of rest, and they double the number of Masses, and they make them all longer.
Oh, I was going to say, you said it, longer.
Longer, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Like double, you're right.
That's right. Like he's doing quadruple time.
Yeah,
more
and
Masses,
then some.
They all go longer, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I have this vision of Jesus, and he's up in heaven. He's hanging out with a bunch of angels. And all of a sudden, he says to the angels, whoa, hold on to that thought. I'll be right back. I got to go to Mass. Right?
I got to go make an appearance.
Right.
Yeah.
And all the angels, you know, are like, dude, you know, what do you got to go to Mass for? Right. I thought you just went. And Jesus is like, I did, but this is a different Mass. And, you know, I never miss a Mass. Right. And we, maybe it's just me, but I think we just assume that Christ never gets bored in Mass, right? So why do we assume that, right? What's the difference between Christ's experience of Mass and ours, right? Same words, same music, same routine. Okay, so he gets sacrificed, right? He gets eaten. Not sure that makes the experience more palatable, right? Probably it does kind of help hold your attention. But I think the more important difference, right, between Jesus's experience of Mass and our experience is love, right? That Mass for Christ is the fulfillment of intimacy with his bride, with his beloved. And what is it for me, right? Is it that for me? Right? Ultimately, Mass is the most intimate expression I will ever share with anyone on earth.
Right.
I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
What is Mass? We just got through Christmas where we are constantly reminded Christ shared in our humanity, our body, right? Our flesh. And now we come to Mass and Christ invites us not simply to share in his body, but even in his divinity, right? This is mind-blowing stuff. We know from the Gospels that Jesus can heal people without touching them, right? Because he did, right? The centurion's servant, the daughter of the Canaanite woman, right? She's the woman who said, you know, even the dogs get to eat the scraps from the children's table, right? Healed in both of those cases, there's no physical touching, right? But Jesus would touch the lepers when he healed them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The lepers, touch them, right? I mean, it's disgusting. It's unclean, right? You would think it would be, hey, you guys, it's cool. Stay over there. I got you healed from here, right?
I can do it from here.
Exactly.
Which he could have.
He could have, right? But no.
Yeah.
The love mm-hmm. of Christ hungered
mm-hmm.
for the intimate exchange of flesh and divinity,
mm-hmm.
right? And people responded in kind. The woman with the hemorrhage who crawls on her hands and knees to touch the tassels of his cloak, right? And she's not the only one. The Bible tells us all who touched his robe, right? All means more than just her. All who touched his robes were healed. Power, light, radiance flowed out through that physical contact with him, right? And that contact is what liturgy invites us to, that contact with flesh and divinity.
But don't you think part of the difficulty is that because we're kind of ensconced in our senses, you know, our eyes, our ears, if we see, if we hear, we taste, we become more easily in an experience. You know what I'm saying? And I think at Mass, it takes more faith, right? Even though we are consuming Jesus in the host, we don't see him. I don't know. What do you?
It also takes, I think, you know, they always say prepare for Mass. Well, how many of us take that time, and what does it mean to prepare
for
Mass?
Yeah, like, where am I going?
And
what am I going to do?
Preparing, you know, you realize after all these years, it's emptying yourself so you can experience the love of Christ and what he wants, how he wants to touch you. And, you know, and I think of all people who say, well, Mass is boring. I get nothing out of it. I think they come in so full of themselves that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't want to come there to experience Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, there's too much me in me.
And you guys, you're exactly right, which really brings us to liturgy, right? Because, right, we come in and our senses are already overloaded, right? And the reality and what we just need to do, because Eleanor, you're right. We need a complete God in liturgy. God in Mass is calling us to a complete sensual experience of him, total sensory. Liturgy is to help us better encounter Christ. Liturgy, right, as the pre-Eucharist game show is, right? That's what liturgy is going to get us to the big, you know, encounter, right? Liturgy is to arouse all of our senses, to have all of our senses aroused by the expectation of the arrival of our beloved.
Mm-hmm.
We are visually surrounded by the art of Christ. We are listening, our hearing, music of Christ, right? The reason that they have incense is the scent, the you know, the scent of...
I hear what you're saying, but I also think it's, the beauty of that particular church, which is why I think sometimes I get very distracted
mm-hmm.
if the music's really bad or the church is really ugly or that, you know what I'm saying? When all those elements are there, I mean, those high masses with incense and I'm thinking St. Patrick's Cathedral in Harrisburg, so beautiful. All of those things that you just spoke about are so in tune there, and I find it easier to find myself.
Well, that's how Christ designed this, right?
Okay.
Liturgy should be an intimate experience of Christ for us and of us for Christ, right? The whole Mass, every event in Mass, if you think about the structure of the Mass, every event in Mass is to draw us into intimacy with Christ.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why liturgy is important. We need to take it seriously
mm-hmm.
is because it's not just the series of steps that we need to go through so we can check off this Mass.
Right.
Right. The point of this is to draw us ever closer and closer to this intimate intimate encounter with our beloved. Right. There. And I think when you talk about bad liturgy, I think there's a very profound danger in bad liturgy. Mm-hmm. And here's what it is. And I don't mean to be critical of bad liturgy. Well, I guess I do mean to be critical of bad liturgy, but not to suggest I've ever encountered it. But anyway, there's a danger that liturgy can send the message that God is using us in the Mass. Mm-hmm. That we come to Mass to hear the music that he likes and we don't, right? And hear him talk, because he likes to talk even when we don't understand. That God likes to tell us when to sit and when to stand and when to kneel, because he likes to pull our strings. And if we put up with an hour of that every week, he'll be appeased and he will be nice to us now, or let us be in heaven later. Right? Mm-hmm. And none of that has anything to do with liturgy. Right? In fact, the word liturgy is actually a very imprecise, almost not a good word, right? It comes from a Greek word meaning public service of the gods or public worship of the gods, which goes with...
Sounds pagan almost.
It comes for the Greek, yeah. Right? So okay. It was a pagan word started out. Mm-hmm. And that notion of its service to the gods or its worship of the gods, mm-hmm. it really gets this dynamic of this is strictly for God mentality. I'm just giving God what he wants. It's not anything's in it for me, right? And the early Christians struggled with that label. I mean, they were all sitting around and they're trying to name what we call liturgy today. And they were like, I mean, liturgy, it's got the God thing and it's got the public thing. I mean, it'll do, but it's not exactly what we're doing. What we're doing when we enter Mass is we're loving God and we're loving our neighbor. What we are doing is forming one body with our neighbor so we can love our God more completely.
Wow. You know what? We're gonna have to stop and take a break because I'm gonna have to. I want to hear more, and I think our listeners do too. You're listening to Holy Family Radio 720 WHYF, and we're on the Family Show. It's Brendan, Randy Lee, and we'll be right back.
Holy Family Radio is your Catholic voice in central Pennsylvania, but as a listener-supported radio station, we need your help, not only during our annual pledge drives and speaker series, but throughout the year. Please prayerfully consider a donation of any amount to AM 720. Giving is easy. Visit our website, 720whyf.com, and click the donate page and follow the instructions. And thank you for whatever you can give to Holy Family Radio.
We're back with the Family Show with Brendan, Randy Lee, and we're talking about the liturgy, and it may be a little bit different than a lot of our listeners have thought about the liturgy as something we just go to and check off the box. You said something else, Randy.
Well,
it's more about
one thing we get caught up in. I think the word liturgy calls to mind process,
yeah,
or steps or just functionality. And as what we were talking about last, you know, before the break, was that liturgy really is designed to capture the concept that the Mass, the liturgy of the Mass, is designed to invite all of our senses to encounter our beloved. That's the purpose, is that the Mass is structured, the liturgy is structured to call us into a closer and closer association with our beloved until finally we make this physical contact with our beloved and we take him into our heart. right? That's when we say liturgy. That's what we mean. It's this process of loving engagement, right? And before the break, we were talking about one danger in liturgy is that if it's bad, it can send the message that liturgy is about that the Mass is about us giving something to God and not getting anything.
Mm-hmm.
That there's no mutual sharing of love in the Mass. It's just us coming and giving what we need to give God to appease.
Mm-hmm.
And ironically, I think there can also be a danger in good liturgy, which is surprising that you.
Hmm.
How can you have a danger in good liturgy? But the danger that I see in liturgy from the other direction is that we can begin to design liturgy.
Yeah.
For the sake of liturgy. We can begin to think that liturgy mm-hmm. is the show. I like this liturgy more than that liturgy.
Yeah.
I like this music more than that.
Yeah.
I like this church's statues more than that church's. And God wants us to enjoy Mass. He wants his beloved to enjoy the experience of him. That's what it means to enjoy Mass. It means God wants us to, he wants his beloved to enjoy the experience of him. But liturgy isn't the party.
Yeah.
Liturgy is merely the invitation to the party.
Is it the vehicle?
That's right. Christ, it's a vehicle is a great word because it's a vehicle, Eleanor, that takes us where? To what?
To him.
To him.
And you know, that makes me think, because how many times have you heard this or maybe gone through this yourself where, oh, this pastor, oh, I can't stand, you know, his homily, or I want to go to this church. And, you know, it's like almost a Protestant thing where we sometimes chase after the priest we like. We mm-hmm. like his, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe what you're saying here is that I think we might be missing the forest for the trees, you know, because we're thinking, what are we going for? That particular priest, or are we going to meet our beloved?
Go ahead.
No, I'm thinking of two things here. I'm thinking of, and I don't know if I saw this, I mean, it's probably true in some cases where during a war-torn time when mm-hmm. it was just like people hid mm-hmm. to have liturgy in the forest,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know, and there wasn't the music, there wasn't the statues, there wasn't the incense, but they came because they hungered for Christ,
yeah.
and they had an incredible experience. I also, the other one I really remember is in Lilies of the Field, mm-hmm. when the priest used to pull up with the station wagon, open up the back, and that was his altar, and people brought their lawn chairs and flocked. Liturgy happened in that parking lot,
yeah.
but they were poor, and they waited for him to come every Sunday so they could experience Christ. So I think, I always think of that, you know, and we are truly blessed. I'm not saying that, boy, when I go into a church like mm-hmm. St. Patrick's
yeah.
or, you know, some
yeah.
of our lovely church, it is an incredible, a visual, a sensual experience.
Mm-hmm.
It adds. But even if we stripped all that, away.
Yeah.
If we go to encounter Christ,
yes.
it's more magnificent than anything.
And I think maybe we're so spoiled with comforts and all of those things that, you know, we're not open.
Yeah, I think we get lazy.
Lazy
we want
is
the
another...
show, we want the experience, we want mm-hmm. the visual, where we're losing the point of
yeah.
where's our hunger.
Mm-hmm.
We should be, you know, it's funny. I was at a church in Philly today and I was there for, you know, a visit. And I met this elderly man who comes every day
mm-hmm.
and seeing him. And he said, you know, if Catholics believed in the true presence, it was a large church
mm-hmm.
and it was two people.
Oh, wow.
Two people. I said,
two.
I said, we would be standing in line out the door.
I know.
Said, you know, and it makes you think.
Mm-hmm. We're so spoiled, which means we're so blind.
Well, you know, and Lilies of the Field, just a beautiful example, Brent, that you raised up, because before they get to the trailer and they pull out the lawn chairs or whatever, you see the nuns walking mile after mile after mile on a road to the desert, through the desert to get to Mass. Why? Because it's the journey to their beloved.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a question that kind of struck me, and maybe it's not an appropriate way to sort of structure this, but it kind of jumped out at me, you know, that the relationship between us, liturgy, and Christ, you know, is kind of like the same as saying, is your wife beautiful because she's wearing that dress?
Mm-hmm.
Or is the dress beautiful because it's on your wife?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't want to get into the habit of saying, let me see the dress.
Yeah.
Right? Let me see the bride.
Yeah. Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's funny, Brent, when you were talking about stripping everything down, there's this, one of the really leading voices in praise and worship music is a guy named Matt Redman, who's over in England, and he wrote a song called Heart of Worship. And mm-hmm. the backstory of this is incredible. So Matt is in this church. He's the praise and worship leader, band leader in this church in England. And, right, he puts together this really tight band. He's an incredibly creative, holy, blessed guy. The music just flows through him. And he's generated this great body of music that people just love. And he's found this huge audience for his music, even outside his church. He's like a hot ticket in praise and worship music in England. And everything in his life is really coming together just perfectly. And the people are flocking to this church to hear this music. And one day, the pastor comes in, one Sunday, comes in, and he asks the congregation, are you here to encounter Christ, or are you here to soak in the cool music?
Mm-hmm.
And then he pulls the plug on the music. We will not have the band playing anymore in the foreseeable future. And Matt is like, are you nuts? I mean, you take back the Whoopi Goldberg story and it's like Whoopi freaks out, right? That's the whole point, right? I'm why they're here. And the guy says, no, we mm-hmm. are not letting the band play
mm-hmm.
until we rediscover the heart of worship, where mm-hmm. the title of the song comes from. And so you get Matt and he's like really struggling with this. And the congregation is really struggling with this. But the end result of this silencing is that people had to rediscover their heart linking with Christ.
Yeah.
And when they did that, then they brought the music back. Then they brought the liturgy back. Because when they knew where they were going, they weren't supposed to stop at the music. They were supposed to let the music bring
them all the way
to their beloved.
So it's a vehicle because, you know, what we were talking about before, Brenda, you know, that we're lazy, we're too comfortable. I think sometimes it often takes a persecution of some kind for us to reevaluate or to assess, wait a minute, why am I here? You know, when we really feel that need for God and we go a little deeper.
You know, if you go to the Chronicles of Narnia story, and it kind of captures the dynamic of Mass and how it prepares us for the encounter of heaven. And you were talking before we got into this about Dominic Savio and the vision that John Bosco had of Dominic Savio. So what was that?
Oh, just that, and it's Feast of St. John Bosco today, but his student, his one of the boys that he took in, had died as a youngster and appeared to Don Bosco, and just beautiful among these glorious trees and diamonds, and the environment that he was just stunning. And Don Bosco said, oh my, you must be in heaven, Dominic. And Dominic just laughed and said, oh, this isn't anything.
Well, you know? And that's C.S. Lewis, same thing at the end of the Chronicles of Narnia.
Mm-hmm.
Higher and deeper, higher and deeper, higher and deeper, right?
And so is it a glimpse of?
Even more than, it's the whole experience of, because we're going to get in Mass, we encounter the imagery, the music, and everything, and it's supposed to call us higher and deeper, more, further. It's going to get better, it's going to get better. Don't stop here.
Yeah.
Right? Don't stop at the songs that the band happens to play. Come closer. I want to be completely absorbed into you. We get into heaven, same thing. We're going to see what John Bosco saw, and we're going to say, wow, I could stop here.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't we do that
often,
huh?
Christ is calling us. The Mass is preparing you for when you get to heaven, to keep coming, as C.S. Lewis said, higher and deeper, higher and deeper.
Yeah.
I want you to tenaciously and ferociously, on the other side of the veil, pursue me all the way to the most intimate encounter you can have with me.
So don't get tripped up, by bad music or conversely, good music. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it, but understand this is all a vehicle to take us to our beloved.
Yeah, and sometimes I think that to experience the Mass totally with just your eyes closed, like don't even open for anything, because once, you know how our eyes are.
Oh, man, I know.
As soon as you open your eyes, like, oh, look at that pocketbook. Oh, what is she wearing today?
That's an interesting haircut.
Oh, my gosh,
I
before
know.
You know it.
That's how I am. Terrible, but it's true. It's like we have to be the guardians of our eyes, you know, and I think sometimes depending on what issues you might have is that maybe closing our eyes during a liturgy is not a bad idea. We'll have to see. We are out of time on the Family Show, but we invite you to join us every Friday at 12:30 on AM 720 for the Family Show.
And keep us in your prayers.
So for Brendan Randy Lee, we leave you with the beautiful sound of Seasons. Mm-hmm.